apostles is earnestly commended to the attention of every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. For more than 40 years, Mr. Spurgeon was, by his preaching and writing, one of the greatest soul winners, and by his printed words, he still continues to be the means of the conversion of many all over the world. It is believed, therefore, that thousands will rejoice to read what he spoke and wrote concerning what he called the chief business of the Christian minister. What is it to win a soul? I purpose, dear brethren, if God shall enable me, to give you a short course of lectures under the general head of the soul winner. Soul winning is the chief business of the Christian minister. Indeed, it should be the main pursuit of every true believer. We should each say with Simon Peter, I go to a fishing, and with Paul our aim should be that I might by all means save some. We shall commence our discourses upon this subject by considering the question, what is it to win a soul? This may be instructively answered by describing what it is not. We do not regard it to be soul-winning to steal members out of churches already established and train them to utter our particular shibboleth. We aim rather at bringing souls to Christ than at making converts to our synagogue. There are sheep-stealers abroad, concerning whom I will say nothing except that they are not brethren, or, at least, they do not act in a brotherly fashion. To their own master they must stand or fall. We count it utter meanness to build up our own house with the ruins of our neighbor's mansions. We infinitely prefer to quarry for ourselves. I hope we all sympathize in the large-hearted spirit of Dr. Chalmers, who, when it was said that such and such an effort would not be beneficial to the special interests of the Free Church of Scotland, although it might promote the general religion of the land, said, what is the Free Church compared with the Christian good of the people of Scotland? What indeed is any church, or what are all the churches put together, as mere organizations, if they stand in conflict with the moral and spiritual advantage of the nation, or if they impede the kingdom of Christ? Is it because God blesses men through the churches that we desire to see them prosper, and not merely for the sake of the churches themselves? There is such a thing as selfishness in our eagerness for the aggrandizement of our own party, and from this evil spirit may grace deliver us. The increase of the kingdom is more to be desired than the growth of the clan. We would do a great deal to make a Paedo-Baptist brother into a Baptist, for we value our Lord's ordinances. We would labor earnestly to raise a believer in salvation by free will into a believer in salvation by grace, for we long to see all religious teaching built upon the solid rock of truth and not upon the sand of imagination. But at the same time, our grand object is not the revision of opinions, but the regeneration of natures. We would bring men to Christ and not our own peculiar views of Christianity. Our first care must be that the sheep should be gathered to the Great Shepherd. There will be time enough afterwards to secure them for our various folds. To make proselytes is a suitable labor for Pharisees. To beget men unto God is the honorable aim of ministers of Christ. In the next place, we do not consider soul winning to be accomplished by hurriedly inscribing more names upon our church roll in order to show a good increase at the end of the year. This is easily done, and there are brethren who use great pains, not to say arts, to effect it. But if it be regarded as the alpha and omega of a minister's efforts, the results will be deplorable. By all means, let us bring true converts into the church, for it is a part of our work to teach them to observe all things whatsoever Christ has commanded them. But still, this is to be done to disciples, and not to mere professors. And if care be not used, we may do more harm than good at this point. To introduce unconverted persons to the church is to weaken and degrade it, and therefore an apparent gain may be a real loss. I am not among those who decry statistics, nor do I consider that they are productive of all manner of evil, for they do much good if they are accurate, and if men use them lawfully. It is a good thing for people to see the nakedness of the land through statistics of decrease.